Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Performance.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here because we're celebrating 18 years of the Small Business Advocate Show, and we're doing it right now with our good friend Bert Folsom. Dr. Bert Folsom, professor of history at Hillsdale College, author of so many great books, including FDR Goes to War, including New Deal or Raw Deal, including Empire Builders, which is an 18-year-old book that continues to sell like hotcakes. But he's got a new book out. He and Anita Folsom, his often co-author and partner in life, Anita Folsom, the two of them have written a book called Death on Hold. And I've asked Bert to join me in at least one segment. We're going to talk about this a little bit. Bert Folsom, welcome back to the show, and thanks for all the support over the years. Almost more than 17 for you.
Well, it's been almost 18. It started, Jim, with that Wall Street Journal article that I did on minimum wage.
That's right.
That it led to unemployment during the New Deal. And, of course, that later was able to include that in the book you cited, New Deal or Raw Deal.
Yep.
And that was 1997. And mm-hmm. So we've been together for 18 years.
All that time,
Almost 18.
Yep. And it's been great for us. We appreciate you very much. But along the way, though, and during that time, you were developing another kind of relationship, weren't you?
Yes.
Tell us about this.
Yes. Well, I was interested in Alabama, your state, Alabama, in the prison system. I had looked, an article in Time magazine was on the death penalty, and I was interested in that. But there was a person interviewed in the article who Time magazine said was beyond hope. And we should just forget him. And he had committed a murder. He was on death row and ready to be executed. And they said he had an 84 IQ and was foolish and just let's dismiss him. But the one quote they had from this guy, he apologized for doing what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he's the only person in the article who apologized. And so I wrote him a letter. And it was really a letter more to tell him, hey, you're going to be executed apparently soon, but you can go to heaven. God will forgive you mm-hmm. if you'll accept Jesus as Savior. And I thought he may be dead in just a couple months and be gone, and at least I could tell him he could be forgiven for what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he responded in a very block letters, that kind of thing.
Right.
It turns out he was in the process of teaching himself how to read and write.
Wow.
The upshot is that I was able to, ultimately we developed a correspondence. I was able to go and help him at the trial get off death row. Anita and I both testified.
Wow.
He got off death row, and although he's still in the prison system, he is now an honor student, a model prisoner, and a lot of that is his overcoming.
How long has he been in prison?
He's been 33 years.
And how old was he when he committed his crime?
20.
And how old is he now?
Well, he'd be, let's see, 50, well, I'm sorry, he was in 19, he and I have known each other for 33 years.
You've been talking to him for 33 years?
Yes.
Wow.
I've been every year in the maximum security prison system of Alabama for the last 33 years.
Wow.
He he was in 1980, so he's 55.
Right.
He's 55.
And any chance of parole for him?
Well, Alabama says no life without parole, and the governor doesn't have the pardoning power because of the abuses that President Clinton did when he left office.
Mm-hmm.
That power was taken away, but the legislature can do it. So there are avenues to do this, Jim.
How did the family of the victim feel when you helped him get him? You know, there's always a point counterpoint, right? There's an equal and opposite reaction. How did the family respond when you helped them not have justice?
Well, of course, they have justice in the sense that he's in prison.
I'm being their advocate for a moment.
No, I understand. The jury unanimously, Anita and I testified. Some others did, too. Some others have come in and helped as well. I want to make that clear. But he was off life. He was taken from death row to life without parole. And the wife of the person he killed, there were some drugs involved in all mm-hmm. this. She ended up testifying against him, of course.
Right.
I have not had any communication with her mm-hmm. since then. And I don't know what her position is, but I wouldn't be surprised, Jim, you're right, if she would be against that. And I would think you'd have to weigh the benefits to society
yep.
from having a reformed convict out. And
how, tell us about, tell, now this book is written in the first person, in his first person
is.
Voice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's called Death on Hold, of course, because death was put on hold and he was not executed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's told in the first person because essentially it's Mitch's story.
Right.
It's Mitch's story. Now, I edited it, and Anita was with me, and we did that.
Mm-hmm.
And we put some of his poems that he wrote contemporary with the time when he wrote it, you know, 30
right.
years ago. You can see his improvement, his literacy, his response to events, other prisoners.
He had no chance growing up. His life was literally, when you think about all of the ghetto children, the children who grew up in a ghetto without the kind of family that most of us have, and the environment around him, he's a profile of that, isn't he?
Well, he is, because he never knew his father, and his mother was 13 years old when he was born. He was farmed out to relatives. His mother was in a reform school for a while.
Yeah.
He was farmed out to relatives. His mother died in her 20s, and he was on the street at age 16
mm-hmm.
and got into trouble.
Never had a chance.
Not much. He couldn't read or write. He was passed
yeah.
on by the school.
What does his future look like now?
Well, his future is he has life without parole. So his future, according to society, is that he will die in prison
yeah.
eventually.
Is there a movement to get him out?
Well, there is with me.
You are, but is anybody besides you? Obviously, you are.
Well, yeah, there are some others. You
yeah.
know, his lawyer has said, who defended him, who's a wonderful
right.
man, has said he's the best death row mm-hmm. prisoner he has ever dealt with
right.
in his life.
The book is called Death on Hold. Bert Folsom and Anita Folsom have edited the first-person story of Mitch Rutledge, right?
Mitchell Rutledge,
A Prisoner's Desperate Prayer and the Unlikely Family Who Became God's Answer. So it's available wherever books are sold, right, Bert?
That's right. It's in Barnes & Noble.
So check that out, Amazon, I'm sure. And
Amazon,
a very
yeah.
compelling story, folks, especially the more you get into it and you see the first-person aspect of this, it's very compelling. And I want to congratulate Bert and Anita for telling this story. Quick break, 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.